أضعف ما حمده جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه. سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد ما في علم الله صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم وربنا زدنا علما. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلي من نفسي وأهلي ومن الماء البارد. صدق الله وصدق رسوله الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. حاضرين الكرام، honorable assembly, in this earthly life of ours we need some type of comfort, some type of relaxation, some type of enjoyment. If that is not there, then a person becomes bored in life, a person becomes depressed, a person starts to think, why am I living for? There is no reason for living. And some people become so depressed that they even commit suicide. They even take their own lives. A dryness comes about in the brain. In Urdu, that sickness is called kushki, where the brains become dry. And a person is so hollow, so empty, so dry, no life, no living, no enjoyment. So there is something that we must look forward to. It keeps us going. It pleases the nafs. Because you have to deal with your nafs, which is between our two sides. Allah has placed the nafs within us. You can't be too harsh and too rough with your nafs, otherwise it would not take you. Sometimes you have to promise your nafs things. That nafs, the desires, the carnal self within man, that if you do this or if you do that, I will reward you with this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nafsuka matiyatuka farfuq biha, aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that your nafs is your sawar and your horse is like a transport, so deal sometimes deal a little gently with it so that it will carry you. Because if you deny your nafs every single thing, then a person becomes depressed and there is no enjoyment, and the body doesn't move, the nafs doesn't even incite the body to move. So some people look for enjoyment and pleasures in the things which are haram, in the muharramat. And so some people find enjoyment in the bars, in alcohol, in wine, wining with wine and dining with friends and socializing and cocktail parties, and they get their enjoyment in that. And some people get their satisfaction and enjoyment in drugs. Some people get their satisfaction, enjoyment, pleasure, comfort in looking at women, gazing and glancing at women, going after women, having affairs with women, in zina, in adultery, and they get their pleasure in that. Having a wife, but having outside women, some people get pleasure in that. And some people get pleasure in acquisition of wealth and money, amassing wealth and amassing money. So any means whereby they can attain that, they adopt that, because their pleasure is in wealth and money and gold and silver and jewelry and cash. We as Muslims should not even think about that. We should not even go down that road. We should not seek our enjoyment. We should not seek our pleasures in these things, the muharramat. We should draw a line and try our best to abstain from these things, inshallah. Then there are the pleasures and the comforts which are mubah, which are permissible for us to enjoy. The rivers, the seas, the beaches, the oceans, the lakes, gardens, fruits, nice food, good food, delicious food, our children, family, friends, wife, halal earnings. To get enjoyment in these things is mubah, it is permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the world for our benefit. Allah did not create us for the world, but He created the world for us. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He is the one who created for you all that is in the land, all that is on the zameen and the ard and the earth. He is the one who created that for you, for your benefit, for your pleasure. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Whatever is in the earth for you to enjoy, for your benefit, the food, the fruits, the birds, different types of meat, the game, the hunt of the ocean, your children, your wives, house, land, wealth. So that is mubah, and that is good. That is a good step. That when a person gets some comfort and some pleasure and in some enjoyment, he seeks it in these things rather than in the muharramat, the prohibited things. That's a good step. It's a very good step. But to go beyond that, subhanallah, or even with that, enjoying these things, but there's a greater type of enjoyment, a bigger type of enjoyment, an enjoyment which will last in this world, in the alam and the world of the qabr and the grave, and in the alam and the world of the akhirah, the afterlife, the next life. For example, let's take one sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The name of the Sahabi is Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sahabiyun mashurun, very famous Sahabi. Reported many ahadith, one of the scholars of Islam. So Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that there are three things in this world that I find enjoyment in. I look forward for these three things. I find pleasure in these three things. So much so that I can't bear to live without it. Not even for one day could I live without these three things. I find so much of enjoyment and pleasure in it. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What are these three things that Hazrat Abu Darda enjoys the most? He finds his comfort, his pleasure. So much so that he can't live without it. Way back, many, many years ago, there was a song, "I can't live if living is without you." The singer of the song was singing, "I can't live. I can't live if living is without you. I can't give. I can't give anymore." Here Abu Darda is saying he can't live if living is without these things. Can't give anymore. What are these three things? He said, one, what he enjoys fasting, the siyam, the saum, on a hot summer day. When he feels the thirst in the evening, he says he enjoys that. That's very pleasurable for him. Subhanallah, ajeeb, strange. He likes that. He looks forward to that. He enjoys that. The second thing he says is that I enjoy sijda, prostration before Allah in the last part of the night, in qiyamul layl, in tahajjud. That sijda, he enjoys that so much. Subhanallah. He enjoys the salat. Recently we had an ijtima, and Hafiz Patel, Damat Barakatum, was speaking to the ulama of the ijtima. He was telling them that the reviver of this work, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Ilyas, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, he had many beautiful qualities, but he had four outstanding qualities which even the great alims at that time admired. In that time, in the land of India, subhanallah, that was the land, that was the time of ilm and amal, subhanallah. Just as once upon a time there was the age of the tabi'een, the age of the imams, the age of the muhaddithin, the age of ilm, that was the time of ilm in India. Subhanallah, there were people like Mufti Kifayatullah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, the age and the time of Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi, Maulana Manzoor Nomani, big, big scholars from Nadwatul Ulama, Lucknow, from Darul Uloom Deoband, from Saharanpur. That was the age of big, big scholars, real ilm. And India is very famous for the ilm of hadith especially. Once on our visit to Palestine and to Jordan, the Arabs in Jordan, when they spoke to us and they heard that we studied in the land of India, they said, "Welcome to you people, land of India, the land of the ilm of hadith." Even they knew that. And for many years, many of the great muhaddithin in Medina were from India. Muhaddithin of India, subhanallah, the ilm of hadith in India. So that was the age of ilm and learning, and many great alims were present, but they used to admire four qualities of Maulana Ilyas, rahimahullah. They would admire that. And he would seek to emulate it. It was worthy of emulation, Ghibta. Hafiz Sahib told us that once on a journey to Mewat, Maulana was with some great big other alims, and they journeyed to a village in Mewat, but they had to climb a mountain. It was a mountainous journey. And when they reached, they were very tired and exhausted. Very tired and exhausted. I remember when we made our Hajj and we were climbing up the mountain, which mountain? Ghar-e-Hira, where the Rasul alayhi salam received revelation. A little journey up, and Alfan was very tired. Very, very tired. He would have to take rest. Then he would see a Pakistani, old Pakistani or Afghan man with a big bag of bottles in his head going up, and he says, if he could do it, I could do it. He became tired, mountainous journey, climbing. So then they told Maulana Ilyas that, Hazrat, this journey must have made you very tired, exhausted. And Maulana Ilyas alayhi rahmat said, we only climbed one mountain. How many mountains did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam climb in his trip from Makkah to Medina? From Ghari Thawr, from the mountain of Thawr, through all that different valleys and mountains, staying away from the normal course and track. How many mountains did he climb in his hijrah from Makkah to Medina? Look where his fikr was. Subhanallah. So they all, the other alims, great big alims, pious alims also too, they lay down to take a rest. So what they notice is that Maulana Ilyas Ali Rahma, he went and started Salat. So then they, afterwards they told Hazrat, they said, Hazrat, we were so tired from that journey, but what we notice is that you went into Salat. And Maulana Ilyas Ali Rahma said that is my form of relaxation. That is how I relax my body. That's my enjoyment. That's how my tiredness goes. He went and he stood in Salat. So the scholars used to admire the quality of his Salat. Subhanallah. What type of Salat was that? What type of khushu and khudu was that Salat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Who are humble and devoted in their salat. They have the quality of khushu, fear of Allah, zikr of Allah, concentration, humility, devotion, peace, itminan, tranquility. So they would admire the quality of his salat, subhanallah, one of his qualities. So we can imagine when Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala who said that he enjoys fasting on a hot summer day and feeling the thirst in the afternoon. He enjoys that, and he enjoys the sijda in the last part of the night, that is in Salatul Tahajjud, in Qiyamullah. He enjoys that sijda. Just as how Maulana Ilyas alayhi rahmah had the quality and the sifat of Salat, that big alims used to look at his Salat and admire him, that he would lose himself in Salat. He would enjoy the Salat. It was his comfort. It was his relaxation. Then Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, and the third thing that I love is to be in the presence and the company of wise men, the mashayikh, suhbatul akhyar, suhbatul ahbab, suhbatu ahbabillah, to be in company of the beloved of Allah, the wise men. Because their wise statements and sayings are like the choicest fruits that you pick from a garden. So he enjoys being in the company of the elders, of the mashayikh, of the wise men, of the awliyaullah, of the akabir, where he can hear words of wisdom, which are like the choicest fruits that a person would pick from a garden. He says, these are the things that I live for. These are the things that I enjoy. And I cannot bear living even one day without these things. So here it is, as I was saying, to live in this life, we need some type of enjoyment and comfort. And the enjoyment and comfort of the worldly things is mubah, is permissible. But to go beyond, when a person really begins to enjoy his ibadat, a person now finds enjoyment. Okay, you get enjoyment in nice, delicious food, tandoori chicken, biryani. You taste the sweetness of honey. You have enjoyment with your wife, with your children, relaxation, comfort, which is mubah, permissible. Okay. But like Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, no, he did not care about gardens. In fact, some of the Sahaba said that the most beloved thing to them was a look at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was more beloved to them than even cold water at the time of severest thirst. Imagine you are very thirsty, and how would cold water be so beloved to a person? More beloved than that is a glance at the chahra, at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Hafiz Patel was also telling us, this was just one of the qualities of Maulana Ilyas, there are three more, but no time to go into that. Hafiz Sab was also saying that there are three major signs of a waliullah, three major signs of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first sign is shawq, ragbat, zeal for a'mal. Anytime that a person finds within himself this shawq, this talab, and this desire for a'mal and for deeds, that's a sign of wilayat. He begins to enjoy the a'mal. You know what? Maghrib to Isha, he doesn't care to speak to anybody anymore now. He doesn't care to socialize at that time. That is the time he wants to enjoy in khalwa and in isolation with his Rabb, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he enjoys that. There is nothing more pleasurable to him at that time than between Maghrib and Isha for his awwabin and his ibadah. A person begins to enjoy the early hours, or the late hours of the night, I should say, Qiyamul Layl and the Sijda and the Dua and the feelings that he gets, he begins to enjoy that. One of the signs of wilayat, of becoming a wali, is when a person begins to develop that shawq, that zeal, and that interest for amal and for good deeds, that talab is there. He begins to enjoy that. So we have to check our own selves. I have to check myself, and you have to check yourselves. That our pleasure, our comfort, our relaxation, is our comfort only in the things of this world? We're not speaking about the muharramat. We are speaking about al-mubaha, the things that are permissible, which are jais. But do we get comfort now in the things of ibadat, of worship, sijda, like Hazrat Abu Darda, how he enjoyed fasting on a hot summer day, feeling the thirsty, enjoys sijda in the late part of the night in tahajjud. He enjoys sitting in the company of the mashayikh. He can't live a day without that. We have to check ourselves. Do we find enjoyment? Or is our ibadat just like routine? Is our ibadat just like routine? Are we living our lives and we are not finding some type of enjoyment in the ibadat? All the salat that we are performing, whatever we are doing, are we getting some enjoyment from that or not? Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna ja'alna ma 'alal ard." We made whatever is upon the earth, zinatan laha, as a beauty, as a glitter and glamour for the people of the earth. The things of the world seems to be so enjoyable, so fascinating, so marvelous. Allah says, we have made whatever on the earth zinatan laha, as a beauty for the earth, an attraction for the earth. Linabluwahum, that we may test them. Ayyuhum ahsanu amala, which of them is best in amal. Not which of them is aktharu amala, which of them does the most good deeds. No. To test them, ayyuhum ahsanu amala, which of them is best indeed. The mufassirin, they comment on this. It does not mean plenty of amal, but it means quality, not quantity, but quality. That if even you do one set of tasbih, 100 subhanallah, you say it, but with quality. If even you read 2 rakats in the night in tahajjud, but with quality, it is better than 8 rakats in the night without devotion and concentration, where you begin to enjoy your amal, the sifat, the quality of it. Subhanallah. But our state of affairs, ma'adallah, is that what comfort, enjoyment in ibadat, in sijda, in fasting, company of the mashaykh. Sometimes we would like to find ourselves in the company of other people and not in the company of the elders. Finding enjoyment in these things, sometimes we are very far from it. As Allah says, that about salat, wa innaha la kabira. Our salat is too hard, it's too difficult. Illa alal qashi'in, except upon the humble minded, those who have khushu. Even salat becomes difficult and hard. Before I close, one word of advice, how we can get some type of enjoyment and sweetness in our ibadat, because many a time we would read Quran, it would be routine. We do zikr, it would be routine. Perform salat, it would be routine, but we are not really enjoying it as we would enjoy other things of this world. One of the reasons is because of our own selves, our own nafs, and our own lust and desire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man nadhara ila mahasini imra'atin ajnabiyya. Anybody whose glance falls upon a strange woman, upon her beauty, strange woman, faghadha basarahu, and then he drops his eyesight, he takes it away from looking at the beauty of a woman. Ahdathallahu lahu ibadatan, Allah will create for him an ibadah, an act of worship. Yajidu halawataha, whose sweetness and halawati will find. So it means that when we protect our eyes from the haram things, protect our eyes from glancing and gazing and scoping out women and the beauty of women, and from those haram things, when we sacrifice that, then Allah gives a person the sweetness and the pleasure of ibadah. But we don't feel sweetness and enjoyment in our ibadah because our eyes fall on all different things, so we cannot enjoy that ecstasy and sweetness of the ibadat which Allah would create for a person when he sacrifices the desires of his nafs for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and me the tawfiq that inshallah we can start finding some enjoyment, relaxation and comfort in ibadat.